This is the D-backs Insider Podcast, the first edition of the D-backs Insider Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Salvatore, and I'm here with D-backs left-handed relief pitcher Joe Patterson. Thanks for being on, Joe.
Thanks for having me.
A quick sort of rundown of your dossier. You were drafted in 2007 by the Giants out of Oregon State University, where you were on the College World Series winning Oregon State Beavers. Before that, pitched at McMinnville High School, right?
Yes.
If my
and Linfield College, also in McMinnville.
And then, so high school, then Linfield, then Oregon State?
Yes, 1 year at Linfield, 2 years at Oregon State.
And then if my geography is right, that's between like Portland and Salem?
Yes, somewhat. I-5, west of the I-5, so yeah. In that area.
All right. I've only been to Portland once, so I don't have a firm grip on Oregon geography. But
yeah, many people know it, Willamette Valley, as wine country of Oregon, so I'm in that area.
Cool. You like wine?
Yes, yeah. Also home to the spruce goose, so.
Nice.
Yeah.
So I guess I wanted to start with Oregon State. You guys, there was a brief period this past decade when Oregon State was not only the dominant team in the Pac-10, they were one of the dominant teams in the country. Tell me a little bit about that team and how it came together that you guys got a whole bunch of fantastic players at the same time to build that team.
For me, looking back, I think one of the big keys was, you know, they stayed in the state of Oregon. We had a good group of guys that played all in the same area. Cole Gillespie is one of them. And, you know, they got a lot of those guys to come. And then a couple guys my age, you know, myself, I wasn't, you know, to that level yet. So the next year, myself and Mike Stutes, who also went to another college, came back to Oregon State. And I think just had a really good group of guys that were around the same age from the state of Oregon. And I think when you do that, you kind of want to win a little bit more for the team and the program, too, because we all grew up kind of rooting for them, and you know, and it has that feel to it when you grow up like that you're going for your hometown team. So it was very fun and lucky to be a part of it.
And I think maybe the thing people forget now is before that 06 team won, the 05 team the year before you got there also went to the World Series. That was, I think, Jacoby Ellsbury's team.
Yes, yes.
And that was your Texas one, and then you guys came back. Did you win back-to-back World
Series? Yes, 2006 and 2007. And you know, their 2005 team was unbelievable. I remember watching it, and part of the reason I played with all these guys in high school, and that's part of the reason I felt like I could go there and play. But watching those guys play, it was unreal. You could really see how much Oregon State meant to them, and you know, you really wanted to be a part of that.
What was the College World Series experience like for you?
I guess the best way I can put it, it's kind of like playing baseball, but all the hype and all the pregame is kind of like a college football game. So it's a lot different than anything I've experienced before, and it was wonderful to be a part of. And it did. It felt like I was, you know, you drive into the stadium and people are tailgating and stuff. So it was just great, and, you know, something you've watched since you're a little kid. So
yeah,
it was a lot of fun.
And the whole city of Omaha just rallies around it. They're so proud of the College World Series. They make it a pretty amazing event.
Yeah, and usually pick a team that they want to root for, and I think a lot of times, both times I was there, they, you know, kind of got behind Oregon State because of, you know, maybe we haven't, our history hasn't been there, so, you know, I think they're always rooting for the team that hasn't been there or doesn't have a rich history of winning or something like that. So it was a lot of fun. We felt like we had 30,000 people there that traveled with us, but
yeah. So yeah, one of the 2 years, I think it was the first year, you guys beat Arizona State in the College World Series, which was crushing to a Sun Devil alum like me. But what, facing a team like them who is a rival in the regular season and then facing them again in the postseason, what's that like from, I guess, from a preparation perspective of knowing that you've seen these guys a few times before?
I believe it was, if I can remember correctly, I think 2007 is when we did that.
Or 2007.
And you know, we faced them because we usually play them in a surprise tournament
before the
season, and then three times during the season, and then we saw them in the postseason. So it kind of, since University of Oregon didn't have a team then, we kind of were at that time the top two teams, and I think it was kind of a little rivalry going on, and it was a lot of fun. We kind of knew a lot of their guys. We had the brother of Eric Sogard, Alex Sogard, who now is playing professional baseball as well. So, you know, you kind of had the – you knew a little bit of the guys, and it was a lot of fun to play them. And, you know, I think I threw against them that year about five times because they have so many left-handers on the team. So
yeah, those are the Ike Davis-Brett Wallace teams.
Yes, right? Yes. And, you know, they were very good, and it's always fun to play against the best because that's when the competition's always at the greatest, and it's fun to be part of those games. So
yeah. And the North Carolina teams that you guys beat were awfully good too.
Yes, very good. I know the 2006, they had all the big name pitchers, right. And
Andrew Miller and Daniel Bard.
Yes, and you know, it's fun to see those guys, especially it was my first year playing Division I baseball, and you hear about these guys, and you know, you kind of those are superstars at the time, you know, coming in as a young guy, and then you get to see them, and then now you've got to watch their progress through the minor league systems into Major League Baseball, and it's fun just to be a part of it all, and you kind of get to know some of the guys, and so when you go, you kind of know what you're facing when you go to minor league ball, and then on and on facing the same guys, so it's a fun deal.
Now, when I first met you on Saturday, I'd asked you, when did you start being a sidearmer, and you said, basically always been a sidearmer.
Yeah, well, I think in high school I was a little bit over the top. It's just something that I guess I just slowly started dropping down, and never really noticed it until someone told me, and they just kept falling further and further off, and it's never felt like I'm throwing sidearm. I feel like I'm throwing from 6'7" downhill, but really guess I'm just throwing from 4'11" probably sidearm, so I don't know. Just kind of natural for me.
And it's funny that you say that. I talked to Josh Colemanter last year, and I don't know if you've seen.
Yes.
You probably
yeah,
did when you pitched against him.
I played with him in the fall league as well.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He's got, you could argue, the strangest delivery you've ever seen. Like, it's an unbelievable, arches his back, and he's a tall guy, and his arm's coming up over the top. There's so many moving parts, and it's really interesting. And he had said that he wasn't even aware he had that delivery until he saw it on video.
Yes.
You also have a very unique delivery. I think for fans that haven't seen you, from what I saw from the fall league, it seems like, you know, a lot of times you set up on the first base side of the mound and you kind of come across and you hide that ball until the very last second. Mm-hmm. When did you realize that you had sort of a unique delivery?
In college I was a starter for a little bit and I threw from the far, the third base side. So, you know, I was really throwing a little three quarters, but I was still going right down the middle. And then as I became a reliever in pro ball, you know, they tried to scoot me over a little bit to make it a little harder in lefties. And then before you know it, I'm on the very far end falling off the side of the mound. And it's just, that's kind of when you think, you know, you see it on tape and you're like, wow, I'm out of the picture right there. But you know, it was kind of just gradual moving over, and I've kind of always thrown the same, but Josh and I have talked about it during the fall. It's something we didn't really know. It feels like we're throwing just like everyone else, but it's, you know, you see it on tape and we're throwing a little funky. So I guess it's just natural.
Last year, left-handed batters hit .216 off of you. Obviously, that's going to be your mark as a professional pitcher is destroying left-handed batters. Did you feel that you shut down lefties as well as you'd like last year?
I think you can always get better, and I, as a pitcher, you always think you're better than what your numbers are, and I'm always going to try and get better. But, you know, I just feel comfortable throwing against lefties. I've just because of how I throw, I get put into those situations more and more. I think the more you throw against lefties, the more comfortable you get. So I enjoy throwing to everybody, but I love to face the best lefty hitters, and it's just the competition. I love that part of the game, and I think at that I can really, you know, go all out, and it's kind of just fun competing against a left-handed hitter.
So when you were growing up, I assume you were a starter all the way through the end of high school?
Yeah, I started through high school, and then
a little bit in college.
Yes, yeah, my junior year I started basically the whole year.
Yeah.
So.
At what point did you figure out that you were a little bit better than a lot of the other kids on the field?
It's kind of funny. People in our area are more familiar with it. I grew up playing on every single team all the way up until last year. A teammate who is named Daniel Turpin, he got Rule 5 by the Yankees this
right.
year. And so, you know, I never really had that feeling. I didn't throw very hard. So, you know, he was always in there throwing really hard. So, I mean, it's just kind of been a natural progression for me. I've never really felt that I was better than anybody. I just kind of felt the same all the way up, and it kind of feel like I've grown with the game, and keep trying to work hard to do that, to become better. But I've never had that feeling where I've could just feel like I dominated people. And I saw Daniel out there, and it was always kind of normal. I've always been around guys that threw hard, and I've just kind of did my thing and tried to fit in as well. So
you came from an organization with a lot of guys that throw very hard.
Yes.
Let's talk a little bit about the Giants from before. You were on the Fresno team last year and teammates with quite a few guys that ended up contributing to the World Series roster. What was that like for you as a spectator during the playoff run?
It's fun. I mean, I was definitely cheering for all my buddies that were there and everything, and you're in the organization, and of course you want them to win. But you're kind of out of it. I was back in the fall league, so I kept busy. But it was great to see all my friends winning a World Series, and really pulling for like Madison, who I was drafted with and basically played every year, and Buster and all those guys, and they had unbelievable years, and very happy for them. And it was a lot of fun. You know somebody, so it's, you get a little more invested into it, because it's not like I'm out there watching the Yankees, who I had no idea who any of them were. So it was fun. But, again, I was keeping busy playing, so it was not like I was out there cheering them on at the game or anything like that. But, yeah, I'd love to see the organization win when I was in it. So
Buster Posey looks like he's going to be a headache for the Diamondbacks for a long time. For everybody in the National League, I suppose. But is he as good as we saw in the Major League last year?
I played with Buster parts of 2 years, and he's very, very good. You knew that he was gonna, at least I felt like he was gonna go to the Major League level and contribute. It wasn't a surprise to me that he did so well. Very, very intelligent and very good at baseball. So you hope that as a friend does well, but I hope that we do better and I do better. So once you step on the field, it's competition's on, and I hope I get all those guys out. But you always root for your buddies, but not when you're on the field against them.
It's funny, I meet a lot of people who ask me questions about being around baseball players, and one of the things I've pointed out to people is you have no idea how hyper competitive Major League Baseball players are. They have it in their DNA to win all the time. And so, yeah, you could be friends with somebody up until 6:40, and then at 6:40, that's the guy you're playing against.
Yeah, yeah. And, if we're out here with the teammates and we're running, I want to win that. So, in everything we do, I think, ping pong game or anything, you want to win. But at the end of the day, your buddies and might say hi, but you move on and you're on the team you're on now, and these are my my buddies now, and I'm going after everybody else. So just try and keep that mindset. Maybe say hi to somebody before the game, but
sure,
as soon as strap it up and go out, it's all business, and hopefully I come out on top and the Diamondbacks come out on top.
So when you were picked in the Rule 5 draft this past November, I guess, right? November, December. You were selected by the Diamondbacks. What was it like for you to get picked by a team where you already knew Colemanter and Kraus and Pollock and the guys that you played with in the Fall League?
Yeah, it was a nice to be able to get picked by one of those teams, and they traded for Cam, who was also on that team. And I knew coming in that I'd have somebody to talk to, and it'd be a little bit easier for me to come in and start talking to people and getting to know the other guys, because they're already buddies with them. So it was nice to see that, and I was picked by a team with so many guys on the Fall League.
Yeah, you were statistically, you and Cam Michelio were two of the more dominating relievers in the Fall League last year. I guess, can you give us a little bit of a look of what we can expect with Michelio from having watched him?
From the Fall League, he's a big guy, and from what it looked like, he was looked like right on top of the hitters, and he was throwing strikes, and a lot of times that comes out on top, not being afraid of the strike zone, and just attacking hitters. And I think a lot of people are successful doing that. And that's what it looked like Cam was doing. The bullpen seemed so far away in the some of these fields, so I couldn't really tell. But he's got good stuff, and he is a big presence out there. So I think just throwing strikes.
I think he had like 19 strikeouts in 12 innings or something, which is hard to even imagine.
Yeah, that's a lot of times looking up, it looked like there was strikeout after strikeout. So he was very good in that league.
What I mean, obviously you don't have prior experience as a Rule 5 guy to fall back on, so I can't, you know, you don't know what's different about being a Rule 5 guy than anything else. But is there anything different about spring training, not only being with a new organization, but having that unique label?
Yeah, I don't know about the label. You know, I think everyone's here competing and wanting a job on the 25-man roster and playing for the Diamondbacks. So as far as that, I don't feel like I'm that much different than everyone else. You know, I'm going in with the mindset that I'm going to give it my all, and I want to walk away with a Diamondbacks jersey on my back. But, you know, as far as minor league and major league camps, yeah, I think they're a lot different. You know, I go from, I don't know how many guys, 200 guys all hanging out on four fields to a smaller, more intimate group, and you're working out. You're getting a lot more in, I think. And, you know, it's just fun going out, strapping up with the Diamondbacks gear on in a major league spring training uniform. And as far as spring training, I think it's a lot different. So this is where you want to be, I think, after experiencing the two.
Charles Nagy is new to us, and he's new to you as well. From the few days that you've been around Charles Nagy, what do you think so far?
Yeah, I think he's awesome. I think everyone here, players, coaching staff, and everybody, the bottom line is they all want to win, and however they can do that. And I think, you know, they're taking in the information they need to, and helping us out when they can, and pointing us in the right direction. But bottom line, I think everyone wants to win, and I think he's giving the advice and helping the people out that need to be helped out, and I think they're all doing a great job.
From a player's perspective, is it cool to play for a guy who went to the World Series a few times, went to a bunch of All-Star games, who had a ton of success in the major leagues and might be able to impart that on players?
Yeah, I think in this, like I said, this is my first major league camp, and I think anytime you get this kind of the coaching staff and the experience they have, you just try and soak it all up. And, you know, like I said, I think they all have the same goal, and the same with the players. And so try and soak it up and put it into play, and hopefully at the end of the day that equals a lot of wins.
You also have an opportunity to, you know, be a part of the solution for the Diamondbacks, where last year our bullpen really struggled, and the you know, Kevin Towers came in and said priority number one is I'm going to fix this bullpen, and you were one of the first moves he made to help fix that bullpen.
Yeah, I take you know, I take that very seriously, and I got it, my best workout I think I had all off season for the off seasons I've been playing for, and coming in here and really competing, like I have the shot to go walk away with something special and help a team out. So, you know, I'm going all in right now and trying to do my best and going to show them what I have, and hopefully at the end of the day I'll be like I said, walking out of here with a Diamondbacks jersey on.
We're hoping for the same thing.
Yep.
Thanks a lot, Joey. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
All right. This is the D-backs Insider Podcast. We'll be back next week. And thanks again to Joe Patterson.